Glasgow is Scotland's largest city and considered a stronghold for pro-independence sentiment. At the run-up to the election, thousands gathered on George Square, flying the blue and white saltire, Scotland's national flag. As the results for Glasgow's local council were being read in the early morning, cries of jubilation erupted when it was clear that 53% of the city had voted yes. But the independence celebrations didn't last long. Across Scotland, 55%, including 16 and 17-year-olds now eligible to vote, rejected the referendum. Early Friday morning at Crosshill Station in suburban Glasgow, first-time voter 23-year-old Lucas Olick was checking his mobile phone and just learning the news.
I'm really gutted, disappointed. I just hope for a better future for Scotland. Scotland deserves that. Deserves a chance to just be us and all. That's all I can say.
Britain's Prime Minister David Cameron welcomed the news from London. Ahead of the vote, leaders from the three main political parties had pledged to expand powers to the regions. The PM pledged not to backtrack on that promise.
The three pro-union parties have made commitments, clear commitments, on further powers for the Scottish Parliament. We will ensure that those commitments are honoured in full.
But Glaswegians like Olick say they remain sceptical.
We'll see what happens. Hopefully we'll get the powers they promised to give us, but probably not. There's promises that politicians never keep.
Alex Salmond, Scotland's First Minister and leader of the Scottish National Party, said the country would hold London to its word.
Unionist parties made vows late in the campaign to devolve more powers to Scotland. Scotland will expect these to be honoured in rapid course.
Shifting more powers to the regions could satisfy many people. No voter, 48-year-old Ruth Telford of Glasgow, said she feels Scotland has real grievances against the Conservative-led government, but wasn't swayed that independence was the answer.
Just because we're disenfranchised with the Tory government doesn't mean we need an independent Scotland. So, you know, hopefully there'll be a way forward with taxation, etc. So, you know, I'm staying positive.
Of course, there are many factors in the vote. One of them is the UK government's growing rift with the European Union. The Prime Minister has proposed a UK-wide referendum in 2017 over Britain leaving the EU. But that would be unpopular with many in Scotland, warns economist Fabian Zulig of the Brussels-based European Policy Centre.
The independence question will be off the table for now. I would still argue that if there is a UK referendum on a possible exit from the EU, that could reopen the whole independence debate in Scotland, especially if there is a significantly different vote in Scotland than in the rest of the UK.
Defence matters also weigh in. The UK stores its entire nuclear arsenal on Scottish soil, and that's been a source of contention with the Scottish National Party, which wants Scotland nuclear free. Despite the referendum result, there are still many issues to work out between Scotland and the central government in London: healthcare, tax revenue, and power to local authorities. The core message from Westminster has been, trust us, that they'd find solutions together as a nation. But if Westminster backpedals on its promises, Prime Minister Cameron's claim that the question of Scottish independence had been laid to rest for a generation could prove premature. Jacob Resnick, FSRN, Glasgow, Scotland.